choices. It's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to New Horizons for this week. This is the final New Horizons before Christmas. The next program would be due to be released on Christmas Day. A very warm welcome to the program and best of the holiday season to you. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Firstly, we talk the women's branch. Over the last couple of years or so, we've talked to Helen Ferris a couple of times, and we've had notices from Janine Sadu, who's the president of the women's branch, about the teleconferences and other things that the Blind Citizens Australia women's branch have been doing. This week, we speak to the newest recruit to the committee of the Blind Citizens Australia women's branch. Lisa Hayes joins me from her home in Sydney. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vaughan.
I haven't spoken to you before. I believe you've been on the program some time ago, but for those people who don't know you, who are you and where are you from?
Well, I'm from Sydney originally, born with congenital cataracts, so born totally blind. Went through the special school system up here in Sydney. Integrated into Carlingford High School, which didn't really work. Integration back when I did it was beginning to be popular, but you know, it can spectacularly work or, in my case, spectacularly fail. Worked in the public service for 9.5 years as a receptionist. Lost out due to a departmental restructure, which was a pain. Became a carer when my grandmother developed dementia. That was a rather steep learning curve. She passed away. I've since moved into public housing and been living on my own for 12 years, which is also another learning curve. Been involved in different areas of BCA for a long time. Was on the Sydney branch executive for a while. Previously, about 4 years ago, on the Women's Branch Committee, and I've just come back again.
Now, you got elected recently at the Women's Branch AGM in October, in fact, to the committee. What was your reason for deciding to renominate?
I got to a point where I wanted to start giving something back because I'd, you know, been involved with advocacy with BCA, been given assistance from them in different advocacy issues that I'd taken to the Human Rights Commission. New president, Janine, who I quite like, and said to her, look, I'd like to nominate. Is it possible, even though I wouldn't be at convention? She said, yes, it was, so I decided to nominate and got elected.
What are some of the things that the women's branch have been focusing on over the last couple of years that have got you interested?
Well, there's been our Scarlet Light cookbook that the late Pat Stillman had a lot to do with, that I also had a lot to do with when I was on 4 years ago. They've done some work on rural and remote women. That was another idea that fascinates me. And just being part of the Women Talk list, email list, and seeing the support that women got through that list for different things really decided to make me renominate.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? The Women's Branch Committee has been a committee of blind citizens, or a branch of Blind Citizens Australia, I should say, for some time. What do you think are its advantages for people generally?
I think when the branch was developed by Diana Braun and others, there was and still is a need for women to be able to talk about women's issues, as apart from the general issues of BCA, which we all talk about on the BCA list. The women's branch had at this convention a workshop on domestic violence, which is an important thing for everyone, but for women with disabilities, it's not talked about in the wider community. It's not mentioned in any media at all. And that's why I think it's so valuable to have a women's branch who can pick up on these kind of issues that affect everyone, but there's no avenue for women who have got disabilities, whether they be vision impairment or any disability, to have that kind of a discussion.
And what sort of strengths do you think that you bring to the Women's Branch Committee?
I am fairly outspoken, and I people can be fairly critical about that with me because I don't often sit back and keep my opinions to myself. If I've got an opinion, I do actually speak. And I know a lot of people have said to me, Lisa, you are very outspoken, but a lot of people said we need people who are going to be outspoken, who are not just going to sit back and go, yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir, because we're not going to achieve anything or get anywhere if people are just going to sit back and keep mum about their what they're thinking.
You're also the Membership and Development Officer for the Women's Branch. What's that?
Basically, I'm responsible for welcoming new members to the branch, sending them out a welcome letter with a list of contacts for the committee. So that's got the committee phone numbers and addresses, email addresses on in case people want to contact any of the subcommittee, which is quite a nice thing, which was never done previously. So, yeah.
Perhaps you could remind us who's on the committee.
There's Janine Sabu, who's president. Ioni Barber, who is vice president. Joyce Jones, secretary. Julie Sutherland, who's our NPC rep. Got to get that correct. It's no longer the NPDC. Bernadette Packer, who is the Soundabout representative. Vicky, I cannot pronounce her surname, is also on the committee. And there's myself. And Anne Jackson as treasurer.
And how does the branch go about getting new members? Does it actively seek new members?
No, any woman can join the women's branch. If they just contact the office, I'm sure Sam Marsh will head them in the right direction as to how to do that.
What sort of things do you think the women's branch should be focusing on in the future? And where do you think it's going in the next, say, 5 years?
One of the things that I would like to see the women's branch focusing on, and they have been, is how are women with a vision impairment coping on rural and remote like properties if they're on sheep and cattle stations? How are they getting the support that women in the cities who are close to services, who can pick up a phone, ring up a service, whether it be BCA, Vision Australia, Guide Dogs, whatever the service may be, and get someone to come out and see them, go through a telelink conference, pick up the phone, ring a friend, ring someone from BCA and say, I need help with advocacy. I don't know what's out there for women who are isolated in outback towns. There doesn't seem to be much from what I'm gleaning. And I think that is somewhere that the women's branch could focus on. And it's something that also the wider area branch of the wider BCA can focus on as well, because it's not just, BCA is not just a metropolitan thing. It's countrywide. And I think it should be, starting to develop, branches in places that are out there, because vision impairment is not just a city problem.
It's interesting you talk about the teleconferences. We've spoken in New Horizons programs over the last couple of years about these teleconferences. Have you attended them yourself?
I have, yes.
What sort of benefit do you think that they provide to you and to women across Australia?
They allow people to stay in their own homes. They're not stressed or stressing out by having to travel somewhere. And if people are comfortable in their own homes, they can focus on the conference rather than focusing on the journey to get to the conference. Then having to focus on the conference, then having to focus on finding somewhere to stay, then having to get home again. That's why I would love the sessions at national conventions to be audio streamed, like the Women's Branch AGM was, so that or telelink streamed, so that people who are at home who can't afford to get to conventions can have a part in the national convention, because you have state conventions, but conventions are expensive beasts. And not everyone who is on a blind pension can afford to get there. And they're without a say at the moment.
And I suppose, too, the teleconferences offer a facility where women can get together and develop a community, if you like.
Yes. Mm. And anonymity to a point. You're only going by your first name. No one knows your surname, no one knows your family circumstances, no one knows unless you choose to reveal, things about yourself.
Yes, I hadn't thought of it from that perspective, but that could be very important to some people, I imagine.
Yes.
Well, Lisa, thanks very much for joining us on the program.
Not a problem.
That was Lisa Hayes, the newest recruit to the Committee of the Women's Branch of Blind Citizens Australia. We've got a couple of minutes left on this week's program, so I want you to think about something. I want you to think about, what is the blind and vision impaired community? This is something we talk about on the program often, and it's something that you'll hear bandied around on all of the radio programs that relate to blind and vision impaired people. So just what is that community? Is it implying that all blind and vision impaired people are alike? Well, of course not. That's ridiculous. But does it imply that all blind and vision impaired people have something in common? Absolutely, it does. And one of the things that Blind Citizens Australia seeks to do as part of its advocacy and its peer support role is to get blind and vision impaired people together. A bit over a week ago, I was asked to record and produce an audio copy of an appeal letter for Blind Citizens Australia. On reading this letter, the story in it really grabbed me, and I'd like to bring you some of it now. We don't have time to read the whole letter, but I'll just read the salient points. And the letter reads, "My name is Annabel Waller. I'm a proud Blind Citizens Australia member and executive committee member of Blind Citizens WA. I'm also a university student completing my BA in psychology and counselling at Edith Cowan University, as well as a Cert 3 in business. One of the highlights of 2017 for me was participating in the BCA National Convention, travelling to Melbourne from Perth. BCA covered travel and accommodation costs. I have multiple impairments, which mean I need to travel with a support worker. So, without BCA's assistance, I would not have been able to afford to attend. Due to your generosity, I was able to have this life-changing opportunity, catch up with other people from around the country, from within this amazing community, and make lifelong friends. I just wanted to say a big thank you." Now, that's a really important thing, particularly at this time of the year as we celebrate Christmas and New Year. If you're blind or vision impaired and you feel like you're alone and that there's no one out there who's experienced what you've experienced, then reach out to someone. Similarly, if you know somebody who's blind or vision impaired and is going through a hard time dealing with it, then tell them about Blind Citizens Australia and what they have to offer. We've just heard from Lisa Hayes about the importance of the teleconferences that the Women's Branch have been running. They're the Woman Talk conferences, and they cover all sorts of areas to do with blindness and vision impairment. As Lisa said, they're a great opportunity for people to get together from within their own home, so you don't even need to go out. All you need to be able to do is use a telephone, and you can talk to blind and vision impaired people from all over Australia. And there's a guarantee out there that someone will know the answer to the questions that you have, and someone will be able to help you with the issues that you're facing. So I urge you to reach out to someone who might need your help, or possibly if you need help from somebody, give them a ring, give the station a ring, and they'll put you in touch with Blind Citizens Australia. You can ring them yourself on 1-800-033-660, or you can email bca@bca.org.au. I think this is really important, but it's also worth noting that other blindness organisations have teleconferences as well. Vision Australia holds teleconferences for blind and vision impaired people, and there are many opportunities for blind and vision impaired people to get together physically as well. So, as I say, give BCA or Vision Australia a call, or your local blindness organisation, or just call a friend over this Christmas holiday period if you feel like they might need support or you need support. Make them feel included. That's it for this week's program. I'll be back again next week, where we'll hear from Jonathan Mosen, who also attended the Blind Citizens Australia convention, and he'll give us an interesting talk on making the best use of emerging technologies. Take care and enjoy this holiday period.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.